Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. Seated. So from a young age, I was taught from the time I started singing in the church choir is that when the church choir would sing for the congregation, when solos would sing for the congregation, this is what I was taught, is that you never clapped after they were finished. And you never clapped after they were finished because it was giving praise to God. And that's something that you don't clap for. Now, along the way, I've kind of tried to sometimes hold to that, but I remember one time in particular as a high school student, and I remember something kind of profound happening one day. I had a friend come from high school. She played the piano for me quite often, and I sang in front of the church, and for whatever reason, I had a day in my life, I think it's the only day in my life that I've ever been tone deaf. Like, I had practiced. I knew what I was supposed to sing. I knew what the words were, everything else, but I was awful. I was awful. And afterwards, I was getting so angry because all the people in my church, such gracious people, were coming up to me and telling me how good I had done. And I was getting mad because all these adults were lying to me. And it was my friend who didn't go to church, who didn't kind of understand how all these things would work, spoke to me the truth that I needed to hear. And the truth was that it's not about you. It's about what you're doing, sharing this message, giving this glory to God. It's not about you. And so that story reminds me of both of our stories that we heard this morning, because they're stories where, left on our own, we may make the wrong decision. We might come to the wrong conclusion. We might forget to give praise, but we're taught often by someone who's maybe outside of the regular circle, what it means to give praise to God. We hear Naaman's story, and Naaman's this powerful person, this powerful warrior, but yet he's got some kind, there's a moth flying around. Sorry. Just when something goes whew, right in front of you, it kind of catches your attention. So let's start that again. So I remember where I am. Yeah, right? Good job. Yeah, right? The good news is people aren't usually that way with sermons. If they don't like it, they just don't say anything. So it's all good. No. So you have Naaman, this strong warrior who's afflicted with some kind of skin condition. They call it leprosy in the Bible, but I think what some of us know of leprosy, we're not sure how he could be a strong warrior and have leprosy at the same time. That's really not the point of the story. But the point of the story is that there are people who are on the outside, people who don't have the power, who are able to speak to the powerful in this story. Because first, we hear that a slave girl that was captured on one of the raids is the one who knows that there is a prophet strong enough to do this healing, a prophet powerful enough to do this healing. And so she speaks that word to her mistress, who shares that word with Naaman. And what we see in this whole story is Naaman just kind of keeps this powerful attitude running. He shows up at Elisha's house with this whole entourage of people. He's actually sent a there's a letter been sent ahead to the king of Israel that scared the king of Israel, because he's like, I don't know how to heal somebody. Why are you picking this quarrel with me? And it's Elisha who doesn't have maybe that same sense of power, at least that worldly power, who says to the king, don't worry about him. Let him come talk to me. And so we hear that Naaman arrives with his whole entourage at the door, and Elisha doesn't even bother to come out. He simply says, go wash yourself in the Jordan, which is even more insulting, because Jordan was an ugly river, still kind of an ugly river. And Naaman could say, there's much better rivers to be out there. It's kind of like many of us, we had to choose. You can dunk in the Willamette, the Umpqua, or the Mackenzie. Which two are you going to pick? You might have some ideas, right? It's kind of the same thing. But once again, you see the powerful made lowly in this sense when his servants gather around Naaman and said, look, if he asked you to do something hard, you'd have been all over it. But instead, he's asked you to do something really easy. And so Naaman goes and he washes himself and he's made clean. And it's in that moment that he does something that we see the person that's afflicted with leprosy in the second story do as well. He returns to the one who has done the healing, and he gives praise to God. He says, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Before this point, he'd worshipped another god. Before this point, he had followed somebody else. But after he is healed, he recognizes who the true God is. And in our gospel, we have the same kind of thing happening. We have 10 people who are afflicted with leprosy. They're set outside of the city. They're not allowed to enter in to be part of the community. And so that was often the case that they would see people passing by and they would call out for help. They would call out for mercy. Mercy might mean a little bit of food. Mercy might mean a little bit of care. Mercy might mean any number of things. So when they call out to Jesus for mercy, what they receive is healing. And Jesus tells them exactly what it is that they're supposed to do, that they're supposed to go and show themselves to the priests. Because it's the priest, after all, who will declare them clean, who will let them be restored to community, who will bring them back into their place of care. But as they're going, one of these men realize that they have been healed. In a way, his eyes have been opened to how God is acting in the world around him. And because his eyes are open to how God is working, he turns around and goes back to Jesus. And what he does first is he gives praise to God. And then, after his praise, he continues with words of thanks. And I think this is an important movement that all of us should kind of remember and to think about, that praise comes before thanksgiving. Now let me kind of define them both so that you understand what the difference is. Praise is speaking of the things that God has done for the world, that God has done for creation, that God has done for all of humanity. So when we praise in these big kinds of ways. We give praise to God because God gave God's own Son so that we may not die but have life. That's what praise is. But after the praise is done, then we move on to thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is something more, it's a little more personal. And thanksgiving is, thank you, God, for these things you've done for me. Thank you, God, for these things you've done for me. And what I recognize in this story And what I kind of feel convicted about in this story is that I'm really good at the second, and I'm not always so good at the first. I'm really good at giving God thanks. I'm not always good at praising God. And I think part of that is I'm not so good at praising God is because I've been Lutheran my whole life. I've lived with Scandinavian Lutherans my whole life. And praise for a Scandinavian Lutheran is pretty reserved. Like if they smile, you got something out of them. Okay? And I've bought into that wholeheartedly. So I don't get too big into the, like I, you know, getting my hands in the air, like giving praise to God. This is a little crazy, okay? It's not quite who I am. And so what I recognize in this story is that I'm good at giving thanks, but I'm not so good at giving praise to God. Because it's easy to say, I know that God has done these things for me. It's easy to say that I know that God has been working in these ways. But it's not so easy to be bold to just proclaim what God has done for the world. And so like my friend who was the mirror of conviction for me then, this Samaritan in the story becomes that mirror of conviction again that says, we praise first and then give thanks. And one of the things I read this week said something interesting to me is that when we praise God, it's our way of giving God to the neighbor. When we praise God, it's our way of giving God to someone else. And the only way I can think about this is I can tell you about all the things that God has done for me, and if God hasn't done those same things for you, it might not mean that much. Like sometimes we're excited that God's done this for me, but does it really connect with who you are? Does it really connect with your story? Do you think, well, that's great for you, but God doesn't do anything like that for me? But when we give praise to God, when we speak about the big things that God has done, when we share the big stories of how God is working in our world, in our midst, in the whole life of creation, then we have an opportunity of helping the neighbor recognize that this God is for them too. That this God is about them as well. That this God loves them, cares for them, wants them to succeed like God wants us to succeed. And so we can learn a lot from those on the margin. We can learn a lot from those on the outside that remind us, that teach us, that prod us to give praise first. Give praise to God first. And then it's okay to list those things that we're thankful for. So if you're paying attention in the psalm this morning, the first four verses of the psalm are great words of praise. So if you're like me and you're not as good with praise as you are with thanks, you can always read Scripture, and Scripture will tell you. You can sing songs, because sometimes songs will teach you how to give praise. You can read poetry, because sometimes poetry will teach you how to give praise. If you're not so good about it yourself, you can find other ways to learn praise. But here's what the psalmist said. Alleluia! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and the congregation. Great are your works, O Lord, pondered by all who delight in them. Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever. You cause your wonders to be remembered. You are gracious and full of compassion. And that's praise. Amen.